Dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace are yours this day. From God who creates us, from Jesus who saves us, and from the Holy Spirit who gives us the breath of life. Amen. At about 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th, John and I dropped off our dog at my parents' house. It was a bizarre visit. We knew it would be the last time we set foot in my childhood home without a baby in our arms, because that baby was still inside me. After saying some strange goodbyes to my parents, John and I drove to Avera, where we were scheduled for check-in at 8 p.m. None of this was how I imagined going into labor in this calculated and scheduled fashion. My hope previously was that I would be sitting on the couch watching Netflix around 6 p.m., and then I would go into spontaneous and painless labor. We would drive to the hospital, and then poof, I would give painless birth by 10 p.m., just in time for a reasonable bedtime for all three of us. Alas, none of that was to be. At age 35, I was medically classified as having advanced maternal age, which I joked about with you all before. And as such, that carries an ever so slightly higher risk of stillbirth to go past your due date. I went back and forth weighing the risks of waiting for the baby to come on her own. Even though the risks were tiny, it was a slight, tiny risk of going past my due date, and ultimately I decided to choose medical induction over my Hollywood vision of spontaneous labor. So on February 25th, 2 days before my due date, John and I parked in the emergency department at Avera, as we were instructed to do, knowing that our car would stay there for an unknown amount of time. We walked from there to labor and delivery and checked in. We settled into our room, and John unloaded the approximately 45 pounds of snacks I insisted on bringing. Our wonderful nurse poked and prodded me for a bit, hooked me up to two monitors, heart monitors, one for me and one for the baby. I was given a medication to prepare my body for labor, which was scheduled to begin at 9 a.m. the following morning with the official medical induction. The best guesses from the nurses and midwives I was working with were that our baby would arrive maybe the following afternoon, or at most maybe the day after that, looking at up to 48 hours of labor, thus the 45 pounds of snacks I insisted on bringing. But by about 11 p.m., after checking in around 8, I had settled my mind with a few rounds of solitaire on the hospital tray. John and I then both tried to sleep, I in the hospital bed, and he snuggled into a sleeping bag on the floor. We figured we could get at least 6 or 7 mediocre hours of sleep before I headed into labor in the morning. But by about 1 or 2 a.m., after a short snooze, I started experiencing some discomfort, and that discomfort seemed to be occurring in regular intervals. The nurse came in from time to time. I would update her on these peculiar intervals. But knowing that labor would not be induced until 9 a.m., I found it strange that I was already so uncomfortable. And these uncomfortable intervals became painful intervals, ever intensifying, and around 3 or 4 a.m., my nurse declared that she was calling in the on-call midwife. And only then, when she made that call, did I realize I was in labor. Our beloved Anya Rose arrived at 6 a.m., 3 hours before my labor was supposed to start. There was no time for snacks. In our lesson today from the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." As I read these words this time around, based on my own experience, I can't help but wonder, does this creation Paul speaks of, does this creation know that she is in labor? Does she know she's giving birth? Is the whole process different than she expected? In the thick of her pain, can she think or see beyond the suffering of the present moment to even realize that she is in labor? Because speaking for myself, sometimes in the midst of labor, you don't even know you are in it. Sometimes it's hard to imagine that you are giving birth when the process is not following the order you expected it to follow. Or it's so hard to believe that life will eventually come when it mostly feels like you are fighting death. Death of your expectations, death of the body as you once knew it, of a body that will now never be the same, death of certainty, death of control, death of your ability to think clearly because you are experiencing pain and uncertainty, the likes of which you have never experienced before. We're now midway through 2020, and we're experiencing collective pain and uncertainty, the likes of which we have never experienced before. We as a church, both our particular body as Spirit of Joy and as a larger global body of followers of Jesus, and we as a nation and as a world are experiencing this uncertainty and pain. In light of the ongoing pandemic, we are grieving loved ones and jobs and futures that have all changed. Some days social distance seems to have translated into distant hope and distant joy and distant imagination. And perhaps that's all because we are in labor. Meanwhile, the urgency of racial reckoning in our country and in our world feels like a parallel process of labor. Some of us white folks are trying to finally listen to the groaning of Black, Indigenous, and people of color, after ignoring their groaning for centuries. About 50 of us connected to Spirit of Joy are currently engaged in conversation about the book White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. And I can say that for many of us, myself included, this process, this conversation, this whole journey of recognizing our own participation in unjust systems is producing a pain and an uncertainty the likes of which we have never experienced before. And perhaps it's because we are in labor. This past week, Pastor Jeff encouraged our staff and our leadership team to read a piece by a pastor named Susan Beaumont, who's an ordained Baptist minister and serves as a spiritual director, a consultant, and an author. About a month ago, she had written a blog post titled 10 Questions to Ask Now, which Pastor Jeff asked us to read. Pastor Beaumont's intended audience was church leaders who now for several months have been living in a reactive mode amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. We as leaders have been more concerned about surviving than about reflecting on the process we are experiencing, and justifiably so, since virtually everything about church operations has changed. I say virtually, pun intended. And so in this post, 10 Questions to Ask Now, Beaumont invites us to take a deep breath as church leaders, to step back away from reactive mode for just a minute, and to ask 10 questions, which she fills into 3 categories. And those categories are these. What have we lost? What did we assume? And what wants to emerge? These are questions for a church and a creation in labor, for a people and a church that feels mostly like we are dying, if not literally dying, then still experiencing the death of so many things that once were. These are questions for a moment when things that were once simple are now endlessly complicated, when things that were once life-giving are no longer safe, when things that were once loving and gracious are now dangerous, things like singing hymns and shaking hands. And perhaps it's all because we are in labor. And if we are in labor, that is bad news and good news. It's bad news because we are absolutely experiencing pain and uncertainty, the likes of which we have never seen before. And that's bad news. There are things we have lost that we may never get back. There are ways of being church and expressing faith that are no longer safe and may never be. If we are in labor, then to extend the metaphor, it seems like we don't even know our due date, and there is no option for induction. And yet, if we are in labor, my dear friends, there is also good news. Because after the hard and painful process of labor, there is new life. It was Ash Wednesday when our beloved Anya Rose made her hasty entrance into the world. Her first gift to us was life on a day of death and ashes. How little we knew then that she would give us life in a year of death and ashes. I've spoken to you several times about my friend Ingrid Rasmussen, who serves as lead pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in South Minneapolis. Her congregation is located in the heart of the initial protests and unrest over the murder of George Floyd. On June 3rd, Pastor Ingrid posted this picture you're now seeing along with an explanation. She said that the previous evening before her post, she had met a man named Brian Dragonfly, who worked for McGeezy. McGeezy is an organization of and for Native American persons, whose goal is pushing against inaccuracies about Native persons and empowering Native youth. McGeezy's building was just completed last year, and it is, or rather was, located just across the street from Holy Trinity Lutheran. As Pastor Ingrid wrote on Facebook, McGeezy's building survived the first night of unrest in the neighborhood, but on the second night it did not fare as well. The building and its contents were completely destroyed in fire. And now these are Pastor Ingrid's words. She says, quote, Brian Dragonfly said that when he arrived to assess the situation, he found that the building was still burning. Quote, I decided to capture the fire, unquote, he said, holding up his lantern. He wondered if Holy Trinity would tend the fire with McGeezy until they could rebuild. He thought that the flame, the fire, might bring some comfort to his community. Pastor Ingrid continues, in we went to the sanctuary. Brian set the lantern on the altar. I ran to find a candle. We shared the fire, and along with it, the trauma of the preceding days, the conviction that not all that was destroyed is to be mourned, and the hope that this ashy moment in our neighborhood's life will be an opportunity for new life. McGeezy shared this on Facebook, quote, despite the flames, we as a community burn brighter. We look forward to showing our resilience once again, end quote. Those are the end of Pastor Ingrid's words as well. Not all that was destroyed is to be mourned, she reminds us. Ashy moments are sometimes opportunities for new life. As a church and as a country and society, we are still taking stock of what has been destroyed. To quote among those 10 questions to ask now, we are still asking, what have we lost? We are in labor, and we do not yet entirely know what new things are wanting to emerge or when. But we are catching glimpses of that new life. As a nation, we are having difficult conversations about race and equality, and those conversations are long past due. As a church, we are discovering God in ways and in places we maybe never imagined God to be. Thanks to virtual worship and other online ministries, we are connecting with persons who might never have set foot in our doors. Last Sunday, the body and blood of Jesus showed up inside hot cars parked on our decaying parking lot, just hours before that parking lot was set to be completely destroyed and then rebuilt. In seminary, I certainly never imagined that one day I would serve communion with sweat and sunscreen-filled hands under plastic gloves into a parked car. And yet I did, and Jesus was there, as Jesus promises to be. And today, yet again, Jesus will show up in your homes where Jesus promises to be, in ordinary bread and juice or wine from your cupboard. Dear siblings in Christ, perhaps we are in labor. And the ultimate good news of that is that we are not alone in our labor. Soon we will confess our faith in a God who is in the business of creating and laboring and recreating. Our God first created us from ashes. Our Jesus rose from the ashes after 3 days, and our Holy Spirit breathes life into the ashes and into us. The work of labor is the work of our God. It is hard work, but it is holy work, and it is now the work to which we are called. It's ashy, painful, and life-giving work, and thanks be to God. Amen.